Go ahead and grab your Bibles, and you're going to need them today, or your devices, or whatever it is that you're going to use to look at God's Word. You can go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 13. I'll go ahead and tell you, we're going to bounce around quite a bit today, which is unusual for us at New Journey, because typically we preach line by line, verse by verse, through whole books of the Bible. But there is no way in 20 to 25 minutes I was going to be able to take you through 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. So we decided to kind of just call an audible for today, if that's cool with you guys. So once again, welcome to Lake Day 2017 at New Journey. And in the life of our church, it's an exciting time because next Sunday night, we kick off a new semester of Journey groups. Right? Who is pumped? Wow, that is, I'm more pumped than everybody here combined. But it's going to be a great time. And we use Journey groups for a very specific reason at New Journey, and that is to help you make godly friends. And that doesn't sound like much like anything else we do at New Journey, because everything we do at New Journey is so rooted on gospel centrality and making much of Jesus. But I want you to understand that the reason why we think you making godly friends is so important is because once you make godly friends, you've now found someone that you can start the discipleship process with and then ultimately grow in Christ. So the whole end game of you making a godly friend is your growth in Christ for His glory, right? Does that make sense? And so Journey groups exist to help you make godly friends. So today, over about 20 minutes, I'm going to share with you six reasons that you should sign up for a Journey group, or as I have titled them in the sermon notes that you were handed when you walked in, six compelling causes to choose community. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not much of a fan most of the time of what I call list preaching, six this, seven that, all these tips. But just, I thought this would make better sense kind of for what we're doing today. And with the sort of the gathering and the limited amount of time we have and kicking off Journey groups next week, this just made a lot of sense. So grab your Bibles as we talk through these. And I'm going to go ahead and put your mind at ease right off the bat. I'm going to talk longer, maybe as long on the first one as the other five combined. So when you see me take a long time with the first one, I kind of know what I'm doing. It's in my notes. Don't panic, okay? I know my time restraints today. So number one, you can just go ahead and fill it out as you look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Number one is that you need us. The first reason why, or the first compelling cause to choose community is that you need us. Guys, like this or not, you need help. You need other people, whether you're a Christian or not. Life is hard. It's hard even before you become a Christian. Like even if just life in general is very difficult and uncooperative, and then you come to Jesus. And while it's worth it, there's a cost to that, right? Jesus starts calling us to do crazy stuff like die to ourselves and bear our crosses daily. All of a sudden now, we were getting along in life just fine. Every situation that came up, we just reacted to it. We had these instincts that are influenced and shaped by our sinful natures, and we just reacted in those instincts, and all of a sudden, Jesus is now calling us to die to ourselves and live by what His Word says is true, and rather than what our flesh just feels like doing. All of a sudden now He's calling us to live His life after Him, to do what He did and say what He said until He gets back. Holy moly. Talk about hard. Try mission impossible. But Jesus knew that ahead of time. And this is why He gives us two gifts. He understood that what He was asking of us in dying to ourselves and to fulfill His mission to redeem a people for Himself, He understood that that would be impossible for us to be able to do alone. So He institutes what I call two fail-safes to make sure that we're okay as we seek to do that. And the first of these fail-safes is the gifting of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus gives the marching orders there in verse 8, but He sends the disciples and all those really gathered around Him at that time, not just limited to the 12, but He sends them back into Jerusalem and instructs them to wait on the coming of the Holy Spirit. Because if they jumped out there and tried to do all of this stuff He was calling them to do all by themselves, they would have failed and got discouraged and quit. And so this is Jesus' gift to us. It's His Spirit. And that means that doing what Jesus did, saying what Jesus said, and dying to ourselves the way Jesus died to Himself, it's actually something we can do now because Jesus' Spirit is alive within us. We can do the things of Jesus because He's given us His Spirit to empower us to be able to do those things. But you know, the second gift that Jesus gave us that we often forget about is the church. In other words, He gave us one another. to help one another. In moments when I'm weak and I start to wonder, can I continue to live this way? I'm struggling, I'm tired, I'm maybe even getting a little self-righteous and I'm not sure I can carry on. I have others who come alongside me and root me on, encourage me, build me up, even if it's just for one day or for an hour, and they strengthen me. I have these godly friends that pick me up and keep me going. And there are, I think, two passages from Hebrews that kind of highlight that and make that even more clear. And so we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, and then we'll skip down to verse 17. The writer of Hebrews writes this, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." And then we skip over to verse 17, where he writes this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." And so in verse 7, what we see, this is pretty cool. Like when we're not sure what to do in a situation, like, well, I don't know how mature everybody here in Christ feels that they are, but the truth is we're all going to hit times no matter how mature we are. We're really not sure what the right thing, the biblical thing to do in a particular situation is. Or maybe even there's a command in the Word of God and we know explicitly what it says, but we're not really sure what that looks like in real life. Like how do I actually go about like doing that? Well, Paul tells us, or the writer of Hebrews, who I think is Paul, he tells us that we can figure out a lot of times just what to do by watching those that are more mature than us in Christ and just imitating their lifestyles. Like living in Christian community then becomes like taking an advanced class in Christian living. It's like the AP course, right? That's what J groups are. They're the AP course in Christian living. We can start obeying Jesus. We can start obeying His Word. Like in certain areas of our life, like we can do that before we even read those passages that address those things, just by living in Christian community together, seeing how people who are more mature than us live, and then imitating what they do, practicing what they do, right? And we find those kinds of relationships at New Journey and something we call journey groups. Remember, this is so important for you to remember, because this is like foundational to everything we do here. Discipleship is caught more than it's taught, right? It just is. People are actually like most of the time, we are more impacted by other people's lives rubbing off on us than their words sinking into our hearts and our minds, right? That's just as true as it gets. This is how we grow, not just from the study of words and the Word of God, but from careful observation and imitation of other people's lives. This is the big point of Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, that in Christian community, this is so cool. You find someone to watch. But if you take what the author of Hebrews says seriously in verses 7 and 17, we discover that not only do we have someone to watch, but we have someone to watch out and over us, right? And we need that just as badly. We have somebody to make sure that we're doing okay, that we're growing in Christ, that we're not drifting back towards those idols and those old lifestyle choices that had led us in bad directions. And you need that. We all need that. I need that. And because you need that, you need us. You need somebody to do that for you. Hebrews chapter 10, if you'll flip over there. Like I said, we're going to move around quite a bit in the Word this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. They basically echo the same thoughts, just kind of with a little bit of a different spin. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 writes it this, the author of Hebrews writes it this way. "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul writes that we were created for good works in Christ Jesus beforehand. Before the foundations of the world, God had good works in mind for us to do. And living and choosing Christian community, at whether it be in journey groups at New Journey or wherever it is that you choose to do church life, listen, choosing community, it helps spur you on towards those good works that you were created in Christ Jesus to perform beforehand. It helps you be spurred on to do and execute those good works that are yours to do as an adopted and blood-bought child of God. Those things, and here's the cool thing, most of you, you want to do that stuff. Like you already want to be doing those things. So really, we think about it, these things that deep down we want to be and we want to do, but we seem to have really a lot of trouble sometimes getting traction and actually becoming and doing those things. I'm telling you, they're going to lay dormant inside of you. They're going to fall into the graveyard of good intentions unless you choose to live in Christian community and find other people who can stir those things up in you. The word for stir up, and it means to provoke, right, to draw out. And this is really cool that it's this idea that these good works have been implanted by God in each one of us beforehand. And so what we need is we need the Holy Spirit, and we need a group of Christian friends to draw those things out of us. We need others so that we can do and be all that we want to do and be in Christ, and so that we can do all that we want to do in His name and for His glory. You need us. I mean, like it or not, like you need us. I know that's hard for some of you to swallow, but you need us. And this is the first compelling cause you have to choose community at New Journey, or sign up for a journey group, if you will. Journey groups, in fact, are the second most important thing we do at New Journey. Right? They're the second most important thing we do. Sometimes I get asked what is, and it's pretty clear for me. And it's that God is glorified in the way we do the following five S's. I'll say these quickly. That we show up faithfully and attend because God never fails to show up and be faithful to us. That we serve regularly in the church because Jesus was a servant and we want to be like Jesus. That we support the work of the ministry of the local church through financial generosity and a response to God's generous grace to us in Christ Jesus. That we sing songs that extol the excellencies of Jesus and make much of who He is and what He has done, rather than extol what we're going to do in His name, right? And we have sermons that are laced and dripping with the gospel, so that when you leave here every single Sunday, whether you're a first-time guest with us or you've been coming for years, when you leave every single Sunday, we don't want you to think about who you've been and what you've been doing and what you're thinking about doing next. We want you thinking about who Christ is, what He's done, and what He will do with your life if you give it over to Him, right? That's what we want. And I could add one more S to that list, and this is the second most important thing we do at New Journey, and that's seek. We seek godly friends that will get us started on the discipleship process and help us grow in our walks with Jesus. And this is so cool as I wrap up this number one. I told you I would be longer on it than all the rest of them probably combined. This is why we do them. Journey groups are the one thing at the church that are not per se for the benefit of the church or necessarily directly for the glory of God. They're for you. Y'all do realize that's why we do them. We don't do them for us. Right? I'm not saying they're a pain in the butt, but it's just one more thing for us to do, right? We do them for you because you need it and because you can't grow in Christ apart from Christian community. But you know what? I hope you'll join a journey group today, if for no other reason that you believe, hey, I really do need those people. But can I give you one more reason or another reason? I hope you join a journey group today because we need you. That's your second one. That's your second compelling cause. Not only do you need us, we need you. You can go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. But you know what the truth is? We need you to do for us the same things that we're hoping that we can do for you. We need you to watch out over us and for us. And some of us, we need to watch you. Like, we really do. We need someone to watch so that we can imitate them. Maybe you're not perfect in every area. Maybe, like, you know, in your southern false humility, you would even say, like, maybe you really believe this, that you would say, hey, I'm not even slightly above average in any real Christian living category. Well, here's what I would argue. I would argue that if you're in Christ, you probably are above average in at least one area. And here's what I'm betting. I'm betting, based on 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, that God has gifted you to this church because somebody here needs you. They need to watch your life. They need to have you invest in them so that they might see what it means to really walk in Christ and grow in Him. Listen, maybe it's money. Some of you are financial gurus and wizards. Some of you aren't financial gurus and wizards, but you know what you are? You're just plain old-fashioned, disciplined with your money. And here's the truth. Some of us, we need to see that. We need to see how to do that. Some of you guys are prayer warriors. That's what you are. Prayer is your thing. And just by listening to you pray every single week in a journey group and then asking you follow-up questions afterwards, some of us might begin to finally have the prayer life we've always wanted, but up until this point, it has eluded us. You have a gift. You do. You have a gift. Not because I say so, but because God says so in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So look there with me really quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. It would help if I would turn there when I told you to, right? That would make this go a lot faster. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for, this is so critical, the common good. Right? So in the first verses 4 through 6, we see that God gave a gift to each one of us. In verse 7, we see why it is for the common good. In other words, God gave every single person, or has given every single person that is truly in Him. He has given you gifts and talents, and the whole purpose of you having those gifts and talents is so that you might be able to use them to help others, starting in the church and then working outward from there. We don't ignore those that are not in the church, but we start in the church and then we work outward from there. You have a gift. Seriously, like, look at me. This is really important that you hear me say this. You have a gift, God-given gift, and somebody here needs it. And when you choose to not participate in community, somebody who needs your gift, somebody who needs you gets neglected. Somebody who needs you almost just kind of gets shunned to the side and they don't get what it is that they need. And all because we selfishly choose to not choose community. You need us and we need you. And if you're in a place where you think you can do life alone, you don't need any of us, and you have found my arguments, my biblical arguments for why you indeed actually do need us. If you have found all of those things uncompelling, would you do this? Would you choose Christian community if for no other reason than whether or not you think you need us? Somebody here needs you. Somebody here needs you. The next reason to choose community is a theological one, and this is your third one, is that you are created for friendship. So go ahead and flip over to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and then we'll read chapter 2, verse 18 after that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says there in Genesis 1, 26, you guys turn there, don't just take my word for it. Then God said, "Let us make man," that would be male and female, "in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So Genesis 1:26, we see that we were made in the image of God. If we were to skip down to verse 27, it would tell us that both male and female are fully made in the image of God, meaning that the image of God is universal in its application and it is equal in its distribution among the ethnicities, the races, the classes, and the genders. Right? But here's what we'll often forget when it comes to being made in the image of God. The God that we've been made in the image of, He is triune. He is a community unto Himself. Right? There is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see all three present, by the way, in Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. We see the Father and the Spirit. Right? In the beginning was God, verse 1. Verse 2, we see that the Spirit of God was hovering above the waters. Right, so with the Spirit, verse 26, we see the Son pop up in the use of the pronoun us. Let us make man in our image. It says the Spirit is without form, right? To make man in His image, to have a plurality right there, us. We see the presence of the Son, right? And so we were created in the image of a communal God. God is Himself a community. And so that means that we were therefore also created for community. And that truth is cemented for us if we flip over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" And so we discover that God creates Adam first. By the way, in creating Adam first and Eve second, He could have done it the other way around. God establishes the order of the home, but that's another sermon for another time. But He creates Adam first, and then He utters that the only thing in all of His creation as He looks out over it that is not perfectly good is that Adam is alone. Now, that does not mean that God has failed somehow in creating. When God utters those words, He's still in the process of creating. He's created Adam first, knowing He's going to create Eve later. He speaks these words so that we will know. So that we will know. He never intended for it to be just Adam. Eve wasn't plan B. She was always God's plan so that Adam might have a helper or a companion or someone, a friend, to do life with. Right? This is the whole point of Genesis 2:18. So for our benefit, God lets us know we weren't created to trudge through life alone and in isolation. He created us to experience friendship and companionship. And you hear me say this, friendship and companionship, first and foremost with Him and then with one another. Because until we have friendship and companionship with Him, we can have shadows of that with one another, but we can't have that in the same kind of way that we can have it once we've established a relationship with Him. So these words, typically, like you would hear this in a marriage sermon, right? They're usually applied to marriage, but what is marriage if not an eternal covenant between two people who have established a mutually beneficial companionship and friendship, right? And I think these words are really relevant and timely in our era, a day where like we more and more like we've increased our dependency upon nonverbal communication. We're more dependent than ever on social forums to do most of our conversating. And so I think this command to not live in isolation, it is relevant and it is timely. I have noticed this. I don't know if you guys have. Just kind of bear with me for a minute. I have noticed that being introverted, I call it the new ADHD. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Like back when I was growing up, or maybe like say 15 years ago, everybody had ADHD. Like we just blamed every problem of society on ADHD, right? Like Obamacare, ADHD, right? Like whatever you think of Obamacare, like everything just got blamed on ADHD. Everybody was just blaming everything there. All of a sudden now being introverted has become the new ADHD. It has become severely overdiagnosed. Everybody's an introvert now. Have you noticed that? Do you know what most people base that fact on, that they're an introvert? Like the fact that you guys aren't laughing and smiling, it tells me most of you, like, you believe you're an introvert, and so you feel like I'm making war on you. You know why most people believe they're an introvert? Because they took a bias test on Facebook that told them so, right? Right? And they've never stopped to think that number one, like when did Facebook become the authority on who's an introvert and who's not? But number two, they've never stopped to think that guess how Facebook makes their money? They make their money when we stop communicating, interacting face-to-face, and rather retreat to isolation and choose to interact with one another through screens and forums, right? I don't know why that doesn't seem to sink into people's heads. So listen, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that there's not a thing as being introverted. That's true. People are introverted. There is no question about that. But listen, if you are introverted, and I mean like you actually really are introverted, can I share something with you? God made you that way and He knew ahead of time what He was doing. And He's already declared that even the introvert doesn't have permission to live in isolation. Even the introvert doesn't have permission to live in isolation. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to tell you that you're lying if you're an introvert. I'm trying to tell you, you still have a reason to choose community and should choose community if you are an introvert, because you have been made in the image of God. Even the introvert has been made in the image of God, a God who is triune and communal. So quickly, I'll move through the last three. The fourth reason to choose community is that together, everyone achieves more, or the acronym TEAM. Right? So if you were to flip over to Mark chapter 6, here's what you'd see. You would see that when Jesus sends the disciples out for the first time, He sends them out in pairs. He didn't send them out all by themselves. He sends them out in pairs. And so I don't know about you, but sometimes this mission to make disciples of Jesus can be overwhelming. 2 billion people on the planet have still never even heard the name of Jesus. And I hear that, and it just overwhelms me with so many people to help and to serve. How are we supposed to ever get all of it done? Well, I can tell you a couple of clues on how to do it. The first thing we got to do is stop trying to do it all by ourselves. Like if you try to do it by yourself, you're going to get overwhelmed and you're going to not only fail, you're going to get disillusioned. When Jesus sent those disciples out on that first missional excursion, He put them on teams. He paired them up. Instead of making them spiritual lone rangers, Christians were never intended to be like spiritual secret agents that are out there like James Bond fighting evil in the world all by themselves. We were always intended to do this together as a people, right? We are called to function. I know we have a lot of military families here. We are called to function like a branch of the military, or like a team, which is the way I think about it. And on a team, everybody has a part to play. And when we play our part, it actually helps accomplish the overall mission, right? And so like this is going to sound weird. I'm not going to get too deep into this because I know not everybody's a huge football fan. The goal of each individual player on a football field is not to score a touchdown. is to do their job. And if all 11 do their job, the touchdown will just come as a result. It's a byproduct of everybody playing their part, right? Does that make a sense? And so sometimes I think we're trying to score touchdowns all by ourselves with 11 defenders to tackle us and nobody to protect us or help us out, right? This is how we can kind of tend to do the Christian life sometimes. I'm one person and I can't do but so much, but together, this is cool. We're a church and we can do a lot. I'm one person. I can't be but in one place at a time. But together we're a church and we can be all over this stinking community all at the same time. How cool is that, right? This is awesome stuff. What I am able to be a part of in Jesus' name increases exponentially when I'm part of Christian community in a journey group. So I would just close out this section encouraging you this way. Some of you have got somebody you've been burdened for years. You've been investing in them for years. You're worn out. It gets tiresome sometimes. Here's a crazy idea. Join a journey group and ask some other people to help you love and invest and be burdened for that person. When you do it by yourself, it creates little dents, but when we do it together, all of a sudden there's a whole community of people loving someone, serving them, being kind and not expecting anything in return. It's like a gospel sledgehammer. I promise you, it will leave a mark. Whether the person ever makes a decision for Jesus or not, it will leave a mark on their lives. So team, together, everyone achieves more. So join a journey group and get others involved in the things that you're passionate about. And here's what you'll find. You'll be pleasantly surprised about how much more fruitful it will be, how much more impactful it will be, and how much less draining it will individually be on each one of you. The fifth one is the assurance, perseverance, and expansion of your own faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 16, because I want you to see that passage. Matthew chapter 16, verses 18 through 20. And I tell you, this is Peter's first confession, the first time someone has confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and it's not some sort of political, messianic kind of undertone to it. It's a true, no, you're from God. I don't know what you're here to do, but I know this, you are from God, you are the Messiah. So Peter utters this just like one or two verses before verse 18. And Jesus responds to Peter this way, and I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one he was the Christ. So let me just kind of say this very briefly. It's strange to me that we all care so much about what everybody thinks about us in all these different areas of our life, with one very weird, notable exception: whether or not we're genuinely a Christian or not. Somehow or the other, we have convinced ourselves that that is a private matter of my own heart, and it's really nobody else's business. You could not be more wrong. Following Jesus is a private commitment that is lived out in a public community called the church. Period. That's the New Testament, right? So this passage in Matthew 16, 18 through 20, is Jesus establishing the church as his. And at the end of the passage, you know what he says? He gives the keys to his kingdom, to his church, and to specifically the leaders of the church. This is communicating authority, because you don't just give the keys to your house to anybody, right? Like if somebody gets the keys to your house, like they're important. They're trustworthy, and you can trust them with what you've given them. Because when they have the keys to your house, guess what they have? They have the run of your house. Right? And so this is the idea here. And so this means that the church is able to help people find the assurance of their faith. The church is able to help people find assurance for their faith because we teach them the Word of God. We teach them what it means to follow Jesus according to the Word of Jesus. People can look at the lives of the people that are around them that they believe genuinely are Christians, and all of a sudden they have the Word of God, they have the words of Jesus directly, and then the people of God surrounding them, and they can look at all of those things, and if there are holes all over the place, they can know that they are not genuinely born again and turn from their sin and repentance into Jesus and faith. But on the flip side, there are people who are struggling with the assurance of their faith, and all of a sudden the church and its teachings and its influence, it can help some people see that they really are born again. And all of a sudden, those people find new reasons to rejoice and new affections for Jesus. But the only way, this is so important you hear me say this, the only way we can help you find the assurance and then the perseverance of your faith is if we actually get to know you. We can't figure that out on our superficial Sunday morning like conversations about the weather and the Bama game. Right? Like we just can't get there. So we got to know you. We got to know you. We're not trying to be nosy. The reason why we got to know you, especially in the South, is that most people in the South are just churched enough that they know what George Costanza on Seinfeld calls the basic plot line of Christianity. Right? They know just enough of the verbiage to convince you that maybe they truly are born again. So the only way to really know and help somebody find the assurance of their faith is to actually live life with them. And we're not trying to be nosy. We're trying to help. Can you hear me say, if we get this wrong, or if you get this wrong, you spend eternity in torment and in hell. We wouldn't love you if we weren't trying to help you get this right. It's not about us being right and you being wrong. It's about you knowing Jesus and being made new and escaping the torments of hell. So we're not trying to get you in, we're not trying to be in your business. We're trying to see you welcome to the biggest bear hug of grace you've ever found from Jesus. And to do that, we got to actually spend time with you and be your friend. And we can't do that if you don't choose community and join a journey group. James 5, 19 through 20 even helps us kind of see this perseverance of our faith thing when it talks about if someone turns a brother, right? It talks about the good that comes from that. Sometimes you're going to be a Christian. You know that. You're assured of that. But for some reason, you start to just kind of fall off the wagon for a few weeks or something. You need someone to kind of come alongside you and say, hey, man, that's bad for you. I love you. As a friend, that's bad for you. It's dishonoring to Christ. Let's get this thing back on track, right? We need that. And so the last reason, all those reasons are very compelling. But at the end of the day, here's why we really want you to join a journey group. Are you ready? It's because you want to glorify God, right? That's the last one. We want you to want to glorify God. So look, turn with me to Revelation chapter 7, and we're wrapping this baby up. I got less than 2 minutes based on the notes that I've got left. So you're there. Revelation chapter 7. We looked at this passage a little bit last week. Revelation chapter 7. So I want you to get this before we read this together. God is glorified when His people get together with the express purpose of looking to Him, talking about Him, thinking deeply about Him, and seeking to obey Him more seriously. God is always glorified in that. And so let's read Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So here's what we see when we look at Revelation 7, 9, and 10. Are you ready? We don't see individuals. We see a community. We see the church of heaven. We see a people gathered around the throne of Jesus, because this is so important you get this, because we say this so backwards most of the time in the South, and specifically in white Christianity. God is not in the business of just saving people. God is in the business of saving a people to gather around the throne of Jesus. Right? Does that make sense? That is huge for us to get. So, we were not ever created to function as individuals. And in the church of heaven, we will not function as individuals. We will function communally together as the people of Jesus. So this has always been weird for me. If you hate people now, it's always strange to me if you love Jesus and hate people, right? But I guess you can do that, right? And that, is that possible? I don't know. But if you hate people now, can I share this with you? Heaven will be a miserable place for you, because it is going to be filled with people, right? And so, listen, be encouraged. People, and it's going to be filled with people who love the same Jesus we love, people gathered around His throne to get to glorify Him. And listen to me, God is glorified when His people gather around His throne. And here's the cool thing for me as we wrap up. We don't have to wait until heaven to do that. We can do that now. Every time we gather as a church, every time we gather in a home as a journey group, we can gather together around the throne of God and make much of Him. Right? We don't have to wait to heaven to be there. So listen, something as simple, this is crazy to think about, but something as simple as faithfully participating in community at New Journey through journey groups can bring much glory to God. Isn't that cool? That we can bring glory to God just by faithfully participating in community life inside of our church family. So here's your next step. Are you ready? It's the simplest one of all time. Are you ready? Join a journey group today. Right? Inside the little sermon notes, on the other side is a little cheat sheet. right? Gives you some ideas about some of the groups that are meeting. We have connection cards because we wanted you to have the opportunity to sign up for a journey group even today. So on the back of that connection card are boxes where you can check a box and you can sign up and register for a journey group today. And we dream of a day when our whole church is engaged in journey groups, because on that day, God will be more glorified in us and each one of us will be better set up to grow in Him. And my prayer is this, is that you will find our compelling causes to choose community as reason enough to be obedient. Here's the key for me. I want you to be obedient to God's word in this area. Look at me, church family. I love you. Look at me. Like, I want you to go back and find your journey group. Look at me. Don't do this because I gave you a great sales pitch. I am nothing. I am nothing. Do this because you see clearly in God's word that He is compelling you to be obedient to Him, to choose to do life with the people who gather around His throne regularly and can help you mature in Christ. Right? Do it for that reason. Listen, I know it's inconvenient sometimes. I know for some of you, you live far away, and I know it's a long drive, but I'm just going to leave you with this. I pray that you'll listen to me hear this, and you'll hear me say this. Who knows better what you need, you or God? For me, it's that simple. I know it seems more complicated for those that are in the midst of trying to sort all that out. I know that. Who knows better what you need, you or God? And I pray that you'll be obedient to Him and join a journey group today. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful that you have given us a church family that loves us and cares for us. We're grateful for the investment that people have made in each one of our lives, whether they're at New Journey or they're somewhere else. We know that none of us is a product of trying to figure this out all on our own, but all along the way, Father, you have sent people into our life. And because you have sent those people into our life, we are farther along in Christ than we would be otherwise. And we're grateful for that. And most of all, we're grateful because we know that the more mature we become, the more glory you receive from us. And so, Father, I pray for our groups. I pray that they fill up. I pray that they're fruitful and helpful for the people. And I pray that you honor the promises in your word, that if we will choose community, we will find something that in you that we could not have otherwise. And we pray those things in Jesus' name.